Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody ought to shout. Man, these two young preachers here, they about half wound up tonight, wasn't you? Chad, you all right? You got the cholesterol out now? That's good preaching, son. I liked it. If you got your Bibles, go to Acts 1 and 2. Acts 1 and 2. Now, I do have a little PowerPoint tonight. I started this message 2 weeks ago. And I don't know if I'll finish tonight. I'm going to have some help. Allison's a big help. Allison, everything geared up? Okay, good. And she's a big help to me. And there's going to be some more help tonight in my message. And I want you to go to Acts chapter number 1 and chapter number 2. I started two sermon series, maybe three, on the marks of a New Testament church. What one really looks like. You hear a whole bunch about it today. But I want you to know something. I settled something way back then. Way back there. It's been the same for 39 years. I ain't changed. I ain't going to change. There is still principles to go by to build a local, independent Baptist church. And it's not found in a bunch of opinions. It ain't found in a bunch of philosophies. And there's a whole bunch of Baptist preachers don't even have a clue. I'm preaching. Amen. They don't even have a clue. But I'm saying, I'm not going to give you my opinion tonight. I'm going to give you what the Bible says. The kind of church you need to be in. And I want to say something tonight. There's a whole bunch of rocks get thrown at this church by a bunch of malcontents. Hello. And they always want to say something ugly. But I'm going to say something pure tonight. This is the greatest congregation of believers I've ever been around in my life. And we may differ once in a while with each other. But I want to tell you what, I wouldn't trade y'all for nothing. I love all y'all. Thank God for you. And let's not let that bunch of liberals and people that can't stand preaching and people that's got to burr up their side always wanting to say something. And by the way, it might be good. You want to get holy in the next 3 weeks? Turn off your Facebook. It's filled with the devil. Sick of it. I'm glad I don't have one. And so every once in a while, Neil will come up and throw something in my face. And he did this evening. And I just, Go with me now. I'm going to give you the 3 points. Are we pointed up there? Good. Let me just review. And this is only going to be like 3 or 4 minutes because I want to get to the new points tonight. First of all, principle number one. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, they had a person in whom they loved. I want you to know something. This church is not about John Smith. It's not about the deacon board. It's not about any committee. It's about Jesus. Thank God I love Jesus. Hey, you want to be a member of a good church? You get in a church where they love Jesus, where they lift up Jesus, where it's Jesus in the morning and Jesus at noon and Jesus all day long. Amen. They loved him because of his person. They loved him because of his precepts. They loved him because of his performance. Praise God for Jesus. Number two, they had the power of the Lord. Verse number 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The indwelling power. How many knows when you got indwelt? You got indwelt when you got saved. You got all the Holy Ghost you'll ever get when you got saved. The problem tonight is not you having the Holy Ghost. The problem is he don't have you. Hello. Not only the indwelling of the power, that happens once, and the infilling, that's multiple times. I want you to know something. I want to get along with God in the next 3 weeks. I want to get so in tune to God and so filled with God's Holy Ghost that all the peripheral, all the distractions, that just be that. And I ain't going to pay one bit of attention to it because I want God's power. The number three in this review, and I'm going to go quickly. They had people who were loyal. They were loyal to their commander in verse 4. They were loyal to their company in verse 14. Each other. Hey, by the way, we need to love each other. Hey, and I thank God we're in a loving church. And I'm going to tell you, I love other churches. I love other people. Now, I don't love some heathens that always cause trouble. I don't like what they do. Somebody say amen there. And then they were loyal in their continuance. In verse 46 of chapter 2, and they continued daily with one accord. Now, that's all that. That's review. I didn't do much more than 3 minutes either. Number four, I'm going to get a little help here. Won't you help a little bit? They had preaching that was liberating. You know what this country needs? You know what our church needs? We need preaching. I want to tell you what, the only hope for America, only hope for this country, it's not in Donald Trump's tweets. It's in preaching. And by the way, I prayed for him to get in for one reason. That was to get the Supreme Court justice in. Now I'm just praying somebody put a muzzle on him. He's embarrassing me. You said, Preacher Smith, you're preaching against him? Let me tell you, I'm an independent. That means I'll preach against them all. Hello. Our nation will not turn back to God because of Donald Trump. A Congress of our nation will turn back to God when we get back to preaching. And that is liberating. That will take a whiskey bottle and put brand in somebody's hand. They'll get an old druggie off her drugs. Get people off their social drinking. Get people's lives right with God. Somebody help me. Preaching that's liberating. I wouldn't give you a nickel for preaching that won't change somebody. You said, what is preaching that's liberating? Number one, preaching that is liberating in Acts 1:16 is preaching that expounds the scripture. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. I'm going to get a little help here. Somebody help me right here.
Verse 2, Abraham. The Bible said verse 2, Abraham.
This is preaching.
Verse number 5. Abraham, verse number 6, Abraham said, do you understand?
This is coming to town.
He said, in other words, this servant had to realize he had a master and he had to do what the master said. Can I tell you, if you want to be in the way, you got to realize we have a master. And if we want to be in the way, we got to do what the master says. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto, according to my word. With thy whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore I speak all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe the according to all, and is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall endure forever. Sanctify them by thy truth, for thy word is truth. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and of the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Can I tell you, no scripture came by private interpretation, but holy men of God, as they were moved by the Spirit. Scriptures give my inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, fully furnished unto all good works. You want the leadership of God? Submit to the word.
Somebody say amen right there. You said, what sets a church free? What sets an individual free? Preaching. That expounds the scripture, but also preaching that exalts the Savior. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Let's get a little bit more help.
Here's the rest of the story.
This is coming.
He had heard about another daddy.
Preach, Joe.
He had heard about another father. He had heard about another papa that's got more money than we got. And he's got more power than we got. And he's got more holiness than we got. And his name is Jesus.
That's him.
The Son of the living God.
We need to
God.
Lift him up.
And I'm telling you tonight, when your problems bring you to the end of yourself, and you don't have enough morals, and you don't have enough money, and you don't have enough power, I'm glad there is one that all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. And he owns the cattle of a thousand hills, because when it's over your head and out of your pocket and out of your hand, it's a good time for God to work on our behalf.
Well, glory. Somebody say amen. Number three, preaching that is liberating exposes sin. I want you to know something. I believe in preaching and lifting up Jesus. I believe in expounding the scripture. But somewhere, somebody's got to get a hold of the Bible and preach the truth about sin. We need to tell it like it is about sin. We need to tell the abortionists what we need to know about sin. We need to tell the homosexuals and the alternate lifestyle and those that are ungodly what sin really is. Somebody help me. And the Bible said in Acts 2:33, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Let's hear a little more preaching.
Because deity is too perfect and too holy to have anything to do with wicked and ungodly humanity. So they can't ever get together unless we can find us a middleman.
Amen.
How many loves a middleman?
Unless we can find us who'll stand in between the holiness of deity and the wickedness of humanity. Job was looking for him. Job was looking for him. He said, if there were just a daysman, if we just had a daysman
come on,
to stand betwixt us and put one hand on one and one hand on the other. And that's exactly what Jesus did. The God-man came and died on the cross and paid the penalty. He put one hand out to lost sinners like you and me. He had one hand in the hand of God, and he was the middleman. The Bible said there's one God and one mediator between men and God, the man Christ Jesus. He is the man in the middle.
That's preaching. That's liberating. As long as I'm breathing air and bringing people in, that's the kind of preaching we're going to have. Amen. They quit preaching the word of God, they'll quit being here. Somebody help me preach right there. Number five, I want you to say another thought I want to give you. Wayne, you preached this about 3 or 4 weeks ago. You preached from this passage, and you preach on the main thing. It's the main thing. And wasn't that what you preached? I remember it. But look at verse 8 of chapter 1. Not only did they have preaching that was liberating, they had a passion for the lost. Somebody look at verse 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. If you go through, I want you to do this tonight after I get done preaching. There's 4 great conversions in the book of Acts that's named. 4 great conversions that's named in the book of Acts. The early church had something our churches today don't have. You ain't going to get it from the contemporary crowd. You're not going to get it from this new age church. You ain't going to get it from emerging church. They could care less about souls. All they want is nickels and noses. I want to tell you what it's all about tonight. The acid test for success in this ministry or any ministry is, are you keeping people out of hell? Are you reaching the lost? Do you have a passion for somebody that's dying and going to hell? The 4 great conversions. I'll just tell them to you now. Go on. The Ethiopian eunuch on the backside of the desert. And that teaches me it doesn't matter where you are. God will save you. If you're listening to me by the way of live stream, Maybe you got in front of you a bottle of liquor, or you maybe you're getting ready to shoot up your next portion of heroin. I want to tell you, I don't know where you're at right now in your life, but can I tell you something, sir? Can I tell you something, ma'am? Can I tell you in this congregation? Can I tell you God will save you, and it doesn't matter where you are in your life, He'll save you. Then there was a man named Cornelius, first Gentile saved in the New Testament. And it doesn't matter who you are, God will save you. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. I'm glad God saved sinners. I'm glad I know He saved sinners because I am one. I'm glad He changed my life completely. It doesn't matter who you are. By the way, I'll tell you one thing I like about Taze Valley Baptist Church. We don't care who you are. Them 15 kids that got saved last week and 15 the week before, can I tell you something? They're just as important as anybody in this room. Somebody say amen. We bring some people from the streets of Charleston, and they came here every week on Saturday and Sunday, and oh, there'll be a bunch of churches that wouldn't have them in the church. There's a bunch of churches because they can't give them a lot of money. I want to tell you something, friend. We ought not be looking for the money. We ought to be trying to get them saved. And if they ever get saved, then they'll want to give their money. Somebody help me right there. Another conversion in the New Testament, somebody say amen, was the Philippian jailer. And it doesn't matter what you've done, God will save you. Well, hallelujah. Man, he's a rough jailer. He put God's best in jail. But I want to tell you something. Oh, Lord God. You know what them boys were doing, Paul and Silas, about midnight? They were singing, and they were praying, and they were shouting. And guess what happened? God shook the jail. Thank God for a God that can still shake a place. I'm telling you, in 3 weeks, I'm praying God shakes this place up so good. He'll just revive us, straighten us out, help us. Teaches, and no matter what you've done, then the great apostle Paul. You know, a lot of people didn't want to have anything to do with him. It doesn't matter what sins you've committed. God will save you. I want to tell you, we ought to have a passion for the lost. You said, what sins did he commit anyway? I tell you what, he was awful mean. I mean, he wasn't a drinker. He didn't use dope. No, I'll tell you what he done for a living, killing Christians. I'll tell you what he done for a living, persecuting Christians. And you know what? There's still some people like Saul was. All they want to do is persecute somebody. Say something ugly about somebody. Somebody say amen right there. I want to tell you something, but I'm glad that I don't care what sin you committed, God will save you. If you're in this room tonight, never been saved, can I tell you, I don't care what you've done. I don't care how far you went, how far you've been. Thank God, God's got a passion, and I've got a passion for your soul. Amen. Let me go on. I want to give you some more points. Verse number 6, look at verse 42, will you? This is good stuff right here. I may bog down here. Let me see my time. I'm good. Look at verse 42. If you're at verse 42, say amen. The Bible said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Number 6, they had principles that were lasting. I want to tell you something. Hear me out. I hope you hear this. You people on live stream, people in this congregation, I'm going to tell you something. I am a Baptist because the Baptists teach the principles that they taught in the early church. Amen again. I want to tell you, you don't build a church on philosophy and your philosophy, in my opinion. You build a church on sound Baptist doctrine. And by the way, they weren't always called Baptists, but they were Baptists. They were called Polygons. They were called Anabaptists. They had a whole lot of names. But I'll tell you what they believe. They believe what we believe. And by the way, I don't believe we're the Baptists, the only one going to heaven. But I don't mind going on first class trip, do you? You say, what are you preaching this for? A lot of y'all people are new. I want y'all to know, you in a straight up church tonight. You in a church that's not founded by some person, but is founded upon Jesus Christ. Let me give you a little bit about us. I'll tell you why I'm a Baptist. Can I give you? It'll be on the board here. First of all, be a biblical authority. I don't have a convention that's write me a note and tell me what to preach Sunday. Somebody help me preach. There ain't no convention going to tell. No. I'm not a Southern Baptist. I'm not an American Baptist. I'm not a garb. I'm not. You said what's a garb? It's a General Association of Regular Baptists, whatever that is. I'm not a hard shell, soft shell, medium shell. I am an independent Baptist that believes in biblical authority, and the Word of God is the authority of this local church, and we stand on the Word of God. By the way, we even got the right kind, the King James Bible, which is the only Bible. For me, anyhow. I'm number two, A, autonomy of the church. Self-governed. We're not governed by convention. Well, no, pastor don't come here and stay one year and then somebody comes to replace him from the convention. And I'll tell you what else we don't do. Wayne, you might want to amen this one. We don't vote on the preacher once a year. Some of these Baptist churches, they're clear out of their mind. Vote for a preacher once a year. I wouldn't be a member of a church that does that. Listen, a church said, hey, God sent me here. I want y'all all to know that. And when I'm done, I'll leave. I'll probably be wheeled out here in a casket. But that's all right. God done this. See, we need churches that have the autonomy of church, self-governed. Under the leadership of a pastor. Number three. P stands for the priest to the believer. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I'm going to get real happy right here. You don't have to go and confess your sins to me. I'm not the potentate. They are one mediator between God and man, and his name is Christ Jesus. See, I want to tell you what you are. When you got saved, read Revelation 1:5. It said he called you to be priests and kings. Some of us don't live our kingship, but we are kings. We're a child of the king. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus, but also a priest. I don't have to call a priest. I don't have to go to a booth and say, man, I'm sick of Chad Eastep. He makes me nervous. And I thought about choking him. Would you tell me what I need to do? And I'll say four Hail Marys and one. Ain't that garbage. Somebody help me preach. You are a priest. You got the right to go right to God on your own behalf. We teach that here. We teach in two offices. That's pastor and deacon. That's biblical. And by the way, before you start getting pastor, deacon, elder, you better understand what an elder is. An elder is one of the three positions of the pastor. As pastor, I feed the flock. As bishop, I oversee the flock. And as elder, I counsel the flock. That's my three positions. All you got to do is turn to Acts 20. It's got it right there. We don't have an elder board because it's not scriptural. That's all I need is one more board. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, we're as close to the scripture as any church I know because our deacons are trustees. And by the way, I believe the first deacons were trustees if you study the contents of Acts 6. Yes. Then I like this, individual soul liberty. I'm glad I'm an individual in the body of Christ and I've got liberty. You said, where's your liberty at? In the Holy Ghost of God. Where the Spirit of God is, their liberty. Whew. Is that pretty good stuff there? S, saved church membership. Thank God for that church member got saved Sunday morning. It probably wouldn't do. It probably wouldn't be bad for some more to get saved. You think I'm naive enough to think out of 1,000 people comes here, everybody is saved that's got their name on this book? I'm not that naive. I believe it takes old-fashioned conviction to get somebody saved. And I'll be honest with you, by the way folks live, there's a whole bunch of people not living like Jesus lives. Hello. Saved church membership. I don't want you to be a member here unless you're saved. Don't even ask to be a member unless you're saved. I got too many angels, so I don't want no more. We had a revival a few years ago. A bunch of folks got saved. Thought they were saved, got saved. That's a great move of God. I ain't too sure we don't need another one. Just like God, you know what? If I was a church member and I didn't know for sure I was saved and I was committing sin, not being chastised for it, I'll tell you what I'd do. I wouldn't even wait till this sermon's over tonight. I'd get on the altar and say, I want to be saved. Amen. Good preaching. T, last T, two ordinances. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. Baptism is not sprinkling. Baptism is immersion. And by the way, it precedes the Lord's Supper. And then S, separation of church and state. And it sure isn't the liberal interpretation of this. It isn't a liberal interpretation. Let me tell you what separation of church and state is. It has nothing to do with us not having a part in government. What it has to do with is the government don't run us. Amen. I hear these people say, y'all breaking the church and state thing by speaking out on sin. Let me tell you something. I'm going to speak on abortion even though this government's killing 1.4 million a year. I'm going to tell the government they're wrong. And then 9 people that dress like women that ordained that anybody can constitute a marriage is wrong. All right, number 7. I'm going to hit this one, then brush it, then go to the last one. Acts 2:45, go there. Marks of a New Testament church. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Number 7, they had possessions that were given liberally. And they sold their possessions. I'm going to tell you something. Let me say something. A lot of people say, well, you ought not preach on tithing. That ain't even your money. Tithe ain't your money. That's God's money. We don't even start talking about your money until we start talking about above your tithe. I'm going to tell you all this now. I'm firm on this. I don't think this church, and I know them Baptist churches in this area do it. They have their Easter egg sales and their little bumper sales and their yard sales. Their yard sales are more important than revival. Hello. Come on. They get a bunch of auctioneers at the yard sale. Somebody help me. That's ungodly. I want to tell you what your tithe does. It goes into the local church. And by the way, you ought not pay your tithe to anything but your local church. Am I preaching?
Yes.
Boy, that's good preaching. But I only give you that because it's there. Lastly. And here's one I want to spend the last 5 minutes on. They had praise that was lovely. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Thank God they had praise that is lovely. You say, what is lovely about praise? What kind of praise is right? I'm glad you asked. Number 1, praise that's lovely reverences the sovereign. I'm gonna say this to you. I hope, Lord, I hope this might go over like a screen door in a submarine. Y'all listening? Thank God people has talent singing. Everyone, we got a good bunch of people too, but you hear me out. I'm not praising the singer, I'm praising the song. Somebody's helped me preach. And if it don't reverence the sovereign, don't give glory to God, I don't want to hear it. Some of this songs out today, I'm under God, Chad. I don't know what they're writing anymore. It's all experiential songs, all talking about grandpa's whatever, and they're not much referencing the sovereign. I want to tell you, he's a holy God. He's a wonderful God. Yep. Amen. Yep. Am I preaching? Yep. I want to tell you something. We're not having a rock and roll concert here.
Yep.
And I want y'all to know something. Y'all, we had what, 4 songs tonight, 3 songs, whatever it was. That ain't very many songs. We ain't going to come and sing 45 minutes and have a 15-minute sermon at the Christianettes that smoke cigarettes. That ain't happening. You already had 15-minute sermon him, and I've came in here about 20 minutes till, and you're going to have 45 minutes for me. So you got 50 minutes of preaching out of an hour and 15 minutes of worship. Not counting the, that's what a church is built on, not singing or preaching.
Amen. Yeah, that's good preaching.
Somebody, I love good singing, and it ought to get the preacher ready. And people ready for the preacher. Not the ready to say, oh, ain't you a good singer? Number two, praise that's loving not only reverence the sovereign, but it rebukes Satan. You say, wait a minute, when did you ever say praise rebuke Satan? Go over to Second, don't go there, but just write it down your notes. Second Chronicles 20, when old Jehoshaphat was told to go fight a battle. Chan, this is unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know what happened? The singers went out first. Read 2 Chronicles 20. And they went out and praised God. And they didn't hit the fire bullet. They all started dropping down, killing each other. I want you to know what praise will do. It's contagious. But it'll keep the devil off of you. You want the devil off of you? Get your eyes off of people and get them on Jesus and start praising him. I'm serious as a heart attack. You know what? We're watching our Facebooks, and some of you are out of your mind. You check your Facebook status at 3 o'clock in the morning. Somebody, I'm serious. I had somebody the other day said they check their Facebook status every 6 hours, and 3 o'clock in the morning they get up, set their alarm, and check their status. They cuckoo couple. What is that? Cuckoo what? Say it. Cuckoo, Cocoa Puffs. That's what they are. Number three. Hold it. Praise also refreshes saints. Say, what do you have a jubilee for? I'm not bringing people in here to grind axes. I'm bringing people in here so you can get refreshed. I'm a little refreshed tonight. I'm feeling pretty perky right now. You are praise to do. It refreshes us. Number four, and I'm done. It reaches sinners. Do you not know that a lost and dying world is not really caring about your status and your Twitter? No. They're needing something. They're needing to see something in us that they don't see in the world. I want to tell you something. We're not perfect. God have mercy. We're far from it. But I'm going to tell you something. God's chosen this church for a reason. And he's put his hand on it. And his hand is on it. And I want you to know something. You know why we want to praise him? Because we want to reach sinners. There are people who come to our church every Sunday that's on drugs or on alcohol or pornography, and their life's a mess. And they don't need a bunch of highbrow Christians looking down their nose. They need some people that love Jesus. It'll reach them. It'll reach them. I sent a boy, one of the frontline guys, come to me in that cat. I can't tell you which one. If he comes, I'll show you. He came to me and he said, "You know why I'm saved?" I said, "Why, son?" He said, because those leaders in the front line, they love Jesus. And I've been watching them every week. And he said, they've been preaching and praising God and pouring their soul out for us. And that little boy said, I got saved because I wanted what they had. I'm going to tell you what, there's some stuff that people have I don't want. But I want some praise this lovely. Man, I hope all y'all, hey, you know what's good about the church? We've got some folks that's moved in, and boy, it's a good crowd tonight, by the way, moved in this church, and they ain't afraid to worship. Some of you new people, thank God you're not afraid to worship. You kind of helped us a little bit. Anthony Smith, is he up there? Anthony, come up to me, and he's a new, been here, what, a couple years? Andy came up to me Sunday night, last Sunday, I don't know which one it was. He said, I've been listening to your tapes from 2012. He said, you preached good back then. But you know what he said to me? He said, you're preaching better now. And he said, I'll tell you something else that's better about the church. He said, there's more of the power of the Holy Ghost here than there was even 5 years ago. I want to tell you something. I noticed it. I want to tell you something. You know what we need to do? Is just let loose of our pride and praise Jesus. And the early church done it. And you know what the Bible said? I'm done. Dear God, I have to get done. Listen, you know what the early, you know what the Bible said about the early church? And the Lord added daily such as should be saved. We lift him up. What have I been preaching about for the last 6 months? What have I been preaching, Joe? Lifting up who? Jesus. It works. I shared that up with y'all 2 weeks ago. And I want you to know I was thrilled to be there. And y'all love them kids. Y'all love them. I got, you know, I got a graduation notice from one of those little girls from Ninth Year High School. She don't know me, but she handed me a graduation notice, me and my wife. We're making a difference. They're seeing something they want. Thank God. Church, you know what? We ought to do. I don't know if you have time tonight, but if you ought to do it, if it's not, do it at home. You pray. The devil stays away from us. Let's pray a hedge around this thing. There's some people on the outside attacking us every week. I know. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. Because they did that to the first church. And the more they done it to the first church, the more that church grew. Persecution's not a bad thing. It'll just get us closer. Neil, I'll tell you what. I want you to know this. I love you. You helped me tonight. I want the fire to fall. Stand with me. If you'd like to pray, if you just come and pray for me, I'll be happy for you. Pray for the church. Pray for one another. Just talk to God. Let us just sing a little something. Let's pray a minute or two before we quit.
Send the power.